Thank you again, Harold, and thanks to the folks at 16 McDonald for allowing me to come and share a little bit with you. I really appreciate the privilege of coming to share with you. There's some things that I've been thinking about for the last few months, and particularly as we see all that turmoil going on in the world. You see nothing but turmoil, and in the last couple of weeks, it's almost incredible to see what's going on. I mean, who would believe what's going on? I mean, we see the sad wars going on in the Middle East there. Worldwide, you see it's almost like in the last day in the Book of Judges, we see in this world spiritual decay. We see moral decay and we see civil decay. I mean, it's just an unprecedented level of going downward and spiral, from a worldwide perspective. And like it's said in the last sentence of the Book of Judges, and every man did that which is right in his own eye. And just like we are here, these are the last days of the dispensation of God's grace. We're seeing, unprecedented times. I mean, one thing we know for sure, the Lord's coming back anytime. Be ready.
Amen.
And sometimes you can get kind of you can make yourself sick if you're watching too much television or news or reading the paper. You can be made really sick of what's going on. But I think the key point is, the Lord's overall in control, and we should not be surprised we're at these last days. With these financial and government failures and these wars and chaos we see, we're not surprised about it. We see we're very close to the end of the day of God's grace, the day of salvation, where folks can hear the gospel to be saved and become part of the Church of Christ. And so it's a great day. These are the last days, but you need to be ready to share the gospel and shine brightly in our little corner and your little corner, and reflect Christ to this lost world, and to tell them that we're not surprised, but folks need to be warned that it's the coming end of the day of grace. So folks ought to look up and look to the Lord Jesus to be their savior. We saw in Matthew 24, if you go there just for a minute, the disciples were asking the Lord Jesus in chapter 24 of Matthew and verse 3, and he says, and as he, the Lord Jesus, sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And this is really the sign of the Lord's coming to put up his kingdom on earth. Now, we know that between the Lord coming to set up his kingdom and the church being raptured up, there's a period of 7 years, which is the tribulation period. And in Matthew 24, verses 6 to 7, we read about the tribulation period, and we're right on the edges of that. We can sometimes say, these things apply to us directly, but they apply to the tribulation period, which is coming very quick. I mean, it's amazing where we're at now. And in Matthew 24 and verse 6, we see, "And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And the nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." This is truly in the first part of the 7 year tribulation. But what's going on now that we as a church still on earth get to see it? I mean, we see the signs here. We're very close on the edge. We see signs of trouble everywhere. And the signs of tribulations like never before. I mean, I hadn't even paid attention to news at all. I don't try to pay attention to news too much. And this thing with Pakistan invading Afghanistan, I mean, it's another one of those things that, all this turmoil is just amazing. So we know we're at the very last days, very edges of this day of God's grace, the day of salvation, where folks may come to know the Lord Jesus and have a sure home in heaven. When we look at the second book of Timothy, it's Paul's last letter before he is executed, and he's writing a letter to the saints, and he's warning about the last days, and to warn saints about, what's coming in the last days of this church age. And in some ways it's perilous times. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And this is a kind of a typifies these last days that we're in. A lot of those characteristics, they're more than ever before, and I don't think anybody can deny that. We've never seen it like we see it now. When you talk about lovers of self, in verse 2, when men shall be lovers of self, it's kind of amazing when you think about our current obsession with stuff like social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and all these other media, where people want to show themselves off to the world and, talk about themselves and to show off selves. And so it's kind of incredible. One of the things that we also see in these last days is a very different change in a heart for doing good works. You see, 30 and 40 years ago, people going out of their ways to do good works, to reach out to the lost and the unsaved. And it's kind of amazing that in these last days that as we are richer here in British Columbia than any other time, it's a very difference in the type of outreach and the hospitality, because in some ways we do like our personal possessions, and sometimes we love our possessions more than the lost around us. And so it's again, verse 4 talks about lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And sometimes we love this world too much. If the Lord says in 1 John, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And sometimes we can love the things of this world, and we can have perhaps, not the heart we should have for those that are lost, and are even the saints in the assembly. So again, we need to encourage one another to love those that Christ loved and gave himself for. We see, in verse 3 about, children are, or verse 2, children are disobedient to parents. And there's a sad thing there. And one of the things that, in these last days also, the real challenge is for all of us to be separated from that which is unholy. We're called saints. We're called to be a holy people, separated unto God. We're called a royal priesthood. The Lord says, be holy as I am holy. And so again, the challenge for all of us, as we go forward, that we aren't being molded by what's
Amen.
going on in the world.
Amen.
One of the things, I sometimes, as you get older, you start reading older stuff again from a number of years ago, and I found some old tracts from probably 50 years ago, and people would have condemned television, right? Because of the influence. And someday maybe I'll talk about this a little more, because this is one of those things that we knew how media affected the brainwashing of people in Nazi Germany. But we know that television and movies and social media has a huge impact on forming the minds and hearts of the saints. And I think
Amen.
one of the things we probably could say that in these days, maybe even more than even 40 years ago, before I got saved, people would have made a big deal about saints being associated with so much of this worldly entertainment, because this amusement, where we're not thinking about anything, is affecting us, even though we don't even know that it really is affecting us. I mean, 30-second advertising in the news, they are affecting us. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves, we need to be in God's word and being molded and changed by His word, and not by all the stuff that's going on. I mean, it is so subtle, and we don't even realize it, how much time we all spend time in reading, watching stuff that probably is even contrary to God's word. And because we've tolerated so long, once we get used to it and we tolerate it, when years ago it would be not tolerated at all. We think about the things that are tolerated now in our society, and 10 years ago, and even 40 years ago, it would not even be mentioned. In verse 4, we see that men are going to become lovers of pleasures. It's interesting also that we can't tolerate spending a lot of time listening to messages. It's interesting to know that in North America, the average time of people spending in a church listening to ministry in North America, the average time in a week is 30 minutes. Can you imagine how much time people spend on all sorts of other media? But North American, so you can imagine the consequences of, as we spend so much time on other things and spend so little time in the Word of God, what is changing us and conforming us? So, as we go forward, we need to be, say, we need to encourage one another to be in the Word of God, so that it changes us and transform us. It's, again, it's wonderful to see so many folks out tonight. It's just a real encouragement to see you folks continue on well, and the Lord bless you for coming together. And again, it's great when you see the saints coming together in the prayer meeting in the middle of the week and coming together for ministry. It's a real blessing. And again, this is really a great work that you folks are doing there. We need to keep on keeping on. But you know how it is. Sometimes you see a lot of people just complaining, well, if there's an extra set of meetings coming on, how people are most willing, I've got every other excuse to do something else, which doesn't require me to spend some time hearing the Word of God and probably being convicted by the Word of God. I've got a 1-year-old grandson right now, and it's kind of interesting to see how 1-year-old grandson, he's just eating everything in sight, just keeps on eating and eating and eating. And you give him anything, he just keeps on eating. First it was milk, and now it's solid food. And when you first became a Christian, it was the same thing. You just couldn't get enough to be in the Word of God. And it was saying, when I first got saved at 21, it was such a joy. I was totally ignorant about the Word of God, and it was a great joy to go through the Bible. And while I was at 16th there, the first 6 months, I think I went through the Bible twice, because it was all so new.
Amen.
And so if we would all keep on having that zeal and that freshness, I mean, sometimes, of course, as we get older, we get kind of, you're trudging along, and Lord, help us to have that zeal and that joy of being in your word, and rejoicing in the simplicity. In these last days, we have a lot of professing Christendom, having a form of godliness. These are people who, there's a lot of people in Christendom who make a profession. But we know that in Matthew, it speaks about that many will come in the last days and say, Lord, Lord, have I not done this and that and everything? And the Lord says, I never knew you. Oh, what a terrible thing that when people know they have never had a true experience trusting in Christ as their savior. They might have said they were a believer. I mean, I even said that before I was even saved. I prayed to God, but I didn't know the Lord Jesus as my savior. So many may go through this motion of having godliness, but they don't know the Lord Jesus, and they deny any power of the Holy Spirit working in their life. And oh, that we would be found faithful. In this last book of 2 Timothy, when we saw Paul writing in 2 Timothy, we read this charge. He's going to be passing on very quickly in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul says to Timothy, "I charge you therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." Verse 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And it breaks my heart when I look around these days, when we see a lot of folks can't endure sound teaching anymore. And, I have a lot of contacts in different places, and of course, don't have a message over 30 minutes and don't go too deep. You can't endure it. I was kind of brokenhearted during COVID. I had a number of contacts where they had were hiring new pastors, and they were asking the pastors who they're interviewing about their views on evolution and creation, how that's going to meld together, and how to accommodate alternate lifestyles or other lifestyles that are contrary to the word of God. And they ask how they're going to accommodate that. And what a sad thing, that's what's going on, to accommodate easy listening and not hearing, the full word of God and the full counsel of God in these last days. So one of the things you do see, I'll tell you, it's almost like a tidal wave going on, and that's why we are to hold fast. There's a tidal
Amen.
wave, of modern hip teaching, hip modern teaching. Lots of fine sounding music. It's like all sorts of entertaining music and speakers, and we're going to not have very deep truth because people can't endure it, right? And so, we are truly in the last days of the Christian dispensation, the day of God's grace. We know that there's going to be a falling away, and we are warned about that. In 1 Timothy, Paul speaks about this. In 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1, we read this. First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we see that if you look at it, at what's going on in the church in North America, oh man, there's some just wicked things entering in. Christendom will tolerate it. And it's because, again, folks aren't in the Word, and we need to again stir us, each one of us, up, and our friends and family, to encourage them to be in the Word. When we look at the book of Revelation, we see seven churches in the book of Revelation. You folks know that. The seven churches are also pictures of seven different time periods, historical time periods of Christendom. They also, some of the seven churches still exist to this day, pictures of them like Smyrna, like there's a Church of Smyrna, perhaps even in Iran right now. There are beloved saints in Iran going through the most awful tribulation and persecution. But the prevailing time is really the Church of Laodicea. It's in Revelation 3:16 we see the Church of Laodicea as being characterized as lukewarm, and the Lord would spew them out of his mouth because the professing church really has the Lord Jesus on the outside of the church. I mean, that's almost it's unbelievable, but it is actually true to this day. We see the Lord Jesus in Revelation 3:20 knocking on the outside of the door, asking to come in. You're knocking on the door, and then there's individual saints that may open the door for him to come in and sup with them. But this is a sad final state of the church by in a large way. We would all ourselves would like to say perhaps we you know and we trust the Lord would put that on our heart that we would be like the Church of Philadelphia, where there really were no complaints. And when you look in Revelations chapter 3, verse 7, if you go to Revelation 3, verse 7, we see the Lord Jesus speaking to the church in Philadelphia. And in Revelation 3, 7, he says, "And to the angel, the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David. He that opens and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." In verse 10, there's this wonderful promise here in verse 10. "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from or out of the hour of temptation." This is the hour of tribulation that's going to come upon the whole earth, the 7-year tribulation period, which shall come upon the whole world to try them which dwell on the earth. So there's a great time of tribulation being alluded to here, but the saints are promised to be out of that, taken out of it. But this is also this great promise: "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." It's a great thing in verse 7 and 8. It really speaks about the open door that you folks have there at 16th McDonald to preach the gospel, to share it to all the folks there. I mean, it's remarkable. We all rejoice at the great opportunities you guys have there at 16th, and we do too. We probably need to really be a little bit more jealous of how well you guys are doing over there. We have an open door. The Lord's opened the door. It's not going to be closed, and we have this ability to broadly share the word of
Amen.
God. In verse 8, what a great thing. The Lord commends the church for keeping his word. They've kept his word. They've not denied his name. They've not denied his authority in the church. I mean, one of the bad things is when we deny the authority of the word of God, the authority of the Lord Jesus, and the authority of who the Lord Jesus is and what he has done, and to have a settled understanding of the peace we have in the Lord Jesus, and the settled knowledge of that we have this blessed promise of his soon return for us. Verse 10 really speaks about he's going to keep us out of that hour of temptation that's coming across the whole world, and we see we're coming close. And we know that before this great tribulation comes across the world, we are going to go home to be with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is coming quickly, and we need to be ready. And when I keep on saying this because it struck me a while ago, in 2 Timothy 1:13, in 2 Timothy 1:13, we have Paul exhorting, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. We're encouraged to hold fast the pattern of sound words. It's not just being, we need to be faithful and loyal to God's word and the proclamation of God's word and the teachings in the Lord's teachings, but the expressions. It is interesting, and this I was just looking at William MacDonald when he wrote this. We often see people through modern teaching want to abandon old-fashioned terms like "except ye be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." I think in many circles you wouldn't hear that anymore, because what is that about? Be born again. What does that mean? Being born anew. I mean, it's a fundamental thing we need to teach, because as an unsaved person, we have hard hearts, rock hard hearts, and those hearts are to be made into from stony hearts into new living hearts by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And so we need to not abandon that old teaching about being born again, the old teaching that the blood of Jesus Christ is important in cleansing us from all sin. A lot of people don't want to preach that anymore, in a church. I mean, it's almost incredible that we're where we are. So again, we need to make sure we hold fast. It's sad when people just want to use gentle language and changing words to abandon the very truth that the faith is built on. And so, just we need to hold fast. In the book of Revelation, I mean, this has struck me a number of times. Four times the Lord Jesus says, hold fast.
Amen.
Hold fast.
Amen.
And in Revelation 3, verse 11, he says this again, just going back to what we were at Revelation 3 and verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, and let no man take thy crown. Don't let anybody trip us up on bunny trails, straying from the word of God, being faithful to the Lord.
Amen.
Let's be holding fast to the Lord Jesus, and doing that which pleases him, and meeting in the way that pleases him. I think sometimes we all want to do our own way of meeting and pleasing the Lord and doing things our own way, but it's again holding fast to that which is clear in Scripture. And so we need to really to take those exhortations to hold fast. The Lord says in to his disciples in John 14, verse 3, that he is coming again. We know in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there's going to be the trumpet sound, and we're going to be called up into the air, out of here, any moment. And perhaps even perhaps at tonight, the Lord Jesus will call, and we'll be taken home. We'll be meet the Lord Jesus in the air, and those who have passed on will be ahead of us, and then we'll be forever with the Lord. That's the blessed hope. It is interesting to remember that it was Paul writing this, that as was an imminent hope that could happen any time. There's nothing to stop the Lord Jesus to come and take us home. And so, lots of trials and tribulations can kind of discourage us, but we know that the promise, behold, I come quickly. And that change is going to be like in a twinkling of an eye. We see that in 1 Corinthians 15, how quick it'll be, just like that. Oh, right, well, that's slow, right? But it's going to be a twinkling eye. The Lord Jesus in the last book of the book of Revelation says three times this revelation. But the last one, the verse I want to look at is Revelation 22 and verse 7. This great promise. Behold, I come quickly. And then in Revelation 22 and verse 12, it says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. This is, we know that blessed hope. In Titus, we are told, we are looking for that blessed hope. That's really the next thing that's going to happen at any moment. We have this blessed hope. It's the hope that should really motivate us to faithfulness, good works, and a life of dedication to the Lord. And again, as we're waiting for the Lord, it's not for us just to sit around waiting for the Lord, but hopefully we can have this before our hearts. Be like Mary in the Word. Be like Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and being like Mary, readying to worship him, and then being ready to serve in whatever way. We're just instruments. Lord, use us in whatever way. We can't force our way into doing things for him, but we say, Lord, I'm an instrument. Use me wherever, whenever. It is the blessed hope. And then we know it's again the purifying hope in 1 John chapter 3, that every man that has this hope purifies himself, even as he is pure, even as Christ is pure. So this is a carefulness of how we live our lives, that we may be reflecting the Lord Jesus to our loved ones, to the saints. We want to be a good witness for the Lord Jesus. We are salt and light, reflecting Christ to the world. Help us to faithfully reflect the Lord Jesus as we're going through these last days. It's a great privilege to be that light. I mean, it's interesting how easy it is. There's lots of people who are troubled. We have lots of people like coming from time to time into obey. We didn't do the work. We didn't do anything. And there's people coming out and they're looking for things. Or even on the street, it's kind of you're walking down the street and you have this opportunity to share people about the Lord Jesus. I've never seen a time. Maybe it's because you're older and you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is really a last days, and it's a wonderful opportunity to share. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about, there's lots of discouragement going around often, but as we go in these last days, we know the Lord's coming at any time, and there's some people who find some reason, because of offense or because of personal behaviors or personal offenses, people don't gather to be with the Lord's people, and that's really an un most unhealthy thing. And
Amen.
we know in Hebrews that there's this great encouragement for all of us. In Hebrews 10:25, we see this statement. Hebrews 10:25, the exhortation, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen.
The Lord's going to be here any moment. Let's keep on encouraging each other, coming together to seek help one for another, and then encourage one another. It means lots of, I mean, I sometimes say it's niggly. It's a lot of turmoil in the lives of saints because there's so much going on. But we need to encourage one another and love one another. And like the Lord Jesus was in John 13, he was ministering to each of his disciples, washing the feet of his disciples. In a like manner, we need to wash each other's feet, to minister Christ to each other. It's a day where we need to encourage one another. The Lord's going to be here any moment. Let us be found to be bright lights shining at 16th McDonald and at Oak Bay. And may the Lord bless. So let's keep on being together, encouraging one another, and looking to the Lord for his imminent return. Lord, help us to be found faithful.
Amen.
Yeah. So maybe I'll close in prayer and then.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we thank you again for thy faithfulness, thy mercies, thy love. And Father, we thank you for that blessed hope we have, that perhaps tonight I'll send the Lord Jesus to take us home. Help us, Father, to know that truly, and help us, and because of that blessed hope, that our lives, our daily lives, will be more transformed and conformed to be like the Lord Jesus. And Father, that perhaps we can be of some use in
Amen.
pointing to the lost, the Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, help us to be a holy people that is of service to thee, that we are ready instruments to honor thee. Help us, we pray. We thank thee for this time together. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.